This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Business owners, meet Progressive Insurance. They make it easy to get discounts on commercial auto insurance and find coverages to grow with your business. Quote in as little as 7 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mental health.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, so, hey man, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm sure that you're probably pretty upset over me going to Waystar and their joint defenses.
No, it's fine.
I had no choice, really, in terms of...
I get it.
Okay. Wow. That's huge relief, because I've been summoned to see my Gramps today, and I just feel like I don't want to be getting it in both ends.
But look, I may have to burn you.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. It is what it is. I wanted to get you up here and give you fair warning as a pal. Is that okay?
What? Getting burned?
Yeah, getting burned.
Is it okay? It doesn't sound great.
P to the OD. Cast on the daily about Succession. One episode per day, see. P to the OD. Cast on the daily about Succession. Podcasting like a pro, make some noise.
Succession is almost over, but we're just getting started talking about every single Succession episode here on Post Show Recaps. It's the daily Succession podcast on Post Show Recaps, where we are watching and discussing every single episode of Succession on the road to the final season premiere on March 26th, episode by episode and day by day. You can get commercial-free versions of this podcast when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. At any level for ad-free versions of the Succession podcast, I'm not Josh Wigler. Today we're discussing Succession Season 3, Episode 5, Retired Janitors of Idaho. I believe Josh Wigler has become a retired janitor in Idaho. That's why he can't join us. My name is Grace, and of course I'm here with the great Jess Sterling. Jess, how you doing?
Grace, I just want to let you know that I am going to sue you, but I love you. I'm glad you're a part of my life, but I am taking legal action against you.
Don't try to sweet talk me, kiddo. You know? You know my love language is being threatened just to be sued.
I'm doing so well. I'm so excited to talk about this episode. It is one of the episodes that I feel like personally has one of those very memorable names. It's a little bit, I feel like Succession really leans into like single word titles for their episodes. But I love Retired Janitors of Idaho.
Yeah, it's a good one. We're at the shareholder meeting. Crisis impending and deals are happening. And Logan Roy is off of his meds. So he's losing it a little bit.
Yeah, he is quote unquote piss mad this episode. Which, again, we talk a lot about shared language with Succession and through all the characters. Yeah. And I really love how piss mad becomes a thing this episode.
Yeah, it's too bad that nobody called him that he was going nut.
Yeah, unfortunately. I think it's because if you're having a UTI, you're like literally piss mad. You can't be nut. Oh. Nut is reserved for other things.
That's different. Ken's nut. Yes. Logan is piss mad. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to dive into it. But first, yes, as always, you have the episode 5, Retired Janitors of Idaho. You have the recap.
Yes, I do. Season 3, Episode 5, Retired Janitors of Idaho. It is time for the long-awaited shareholder meeting. In one corner is Team S, two Sandys and a Stewie. In another corner, Kendall and his entourage. In the third corner of this weird triangle-shaped boxing ring is Logan and his posse. This is the vote that will determine if Sandy and Stewie take Waystar from Logan and crew. No one is certain how the vote will break down, and some are more anxious than others to make a deal. Logan is the most confident of them all. He's hoping the ATN attacks on the Raisin are enough to get the DOJ to ease up on their investigation, and that word of that will ease shareholders' minds and keep them on his side. Sandy and Stewie have invested about $50 million in this fight, but Sandy's petty conditions, like taking away their precious PJs and eliminating Roy Children from becoming CEO, halt any progress on a deal between the two factions. Meanwhile, Kendall is playing middleman, speaking with Frank and Stewie and hoping they can make a deal in time. Unfortunately for everyone involved, Logan fails to take medication for a UTI and goes piss mad during negotiations, which leaves everyone floundering and unsure of what to do. Roman is forced to converse with the president, who has decided not to run for another term due to ATN's allegations of mental frailty, which means that one less powerful person is in the Roy's back pocket, and no promise of DOJ easing up on them. He's also the one most resistant to go against his father's wishes, despite the fact that those wishes were shouted during a piss-mad rampage. Shiv, on the other hand, sees this as an opportunity to step up, force the deal, and get herself a seat on the board and a powerful ally in the process. Daughter Sandy and Shiv agree to no PJs and a board seat for each of them to solidify the deal. Everyone celebrates that a deal has been struck in time. Well, everyone except a sobered up Logan, who seems mostly pissed, pun intended, that he wasn't the one to strike the deal. Meanwhile, Tom is helping his father-in-law back and forth to the bathroom while also trying to convince Shiv to get pregnant so that she'll have company while he's locked up in jail for 9 months. Greg is in a bad spot, as not only has Kendall threatened to burn him by talking to the DOJ about him shredding important documents, but Ewan has also disinherited him and plans on donating his fortune to Greenpeace. No worries, though, because Greg is going to sue Greenpeace. And that is what happened on Season 3, Episode 5 of Succession.
As I said a few episodes ago, this is my first time going back to watch Season 3. And while I remember this episode being very memorable at the time, it certainly stands out. It's pretty funny. It also is a very weird episode. In my opinion, I didn't want to like say this too much, but when we went back and rewatched the beginning of the show, it always kind of surprises me how like Logan Roy like isn't in the second episode of the show. Like he is, but he's in a coma, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
And so that being a thing that like his health looming so large and being a focal point and like why Kendall ultimately decides to do the takeover is that like they're worried about his father's health. In season 2, I feel like that's not really a thing. I think you can see it with like Marcia moving to a little bit of a you know, much more of a supporting character, even more so than she was in season 1, as like Logan is healthy and sort of has things intact. And then I remember as we were watching it, like last episode, Lion in the Meadow, and then this one with Logan forgetting to take his medication, of like, oh, interesting. Like we're replaying with this idea that Logan Roy is an old man who has health issues. And I think Josh sort of hinted at this, Josh Wigler, not Josh Aronson, last episode, that when he is complimenting Kendall, how much of this is perhaps him not fully in his faculties. And the other thing I want to give credit to the show for is there's this whole thing in season two when Kendall gets looped back in and he's the one in charge of making sure dad has all of his medication. And she's like, don't we have a person for that? I think it's very, this show, I just like on a rewatch, it's very rewarding because they plant things. And I feel like everything's still on the table to a degree. Like, I think that's one of the things I'm most looking forward to heading into season four is that there's so many things that have happened over the course of the season that even if they seemed insignificant at the time, might be significant. And then the other thing I really like about this episode is that basically everybody has a story, at least from our like main, you know, kind of our core four-ish in terms of Logan, Kendall, Shiv, all have stories. Roman, a smidge, it's in there. It's in the, he gets a call with the president, and that moment. But really,
how dare you leave Connor out of your core four? The audacity of you, Grace Leader.
I know he wants back in. He wants to be looped in. He wants to.
Yeah,
come in.
He wants to be head of some kind of European division.
When did he say that? Because that's we know that Dad was not feeling well when he.
He's like,
when
listen, Dad offered me European cable. He was not pissed mad when he offered it to me. I'm taking it.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I love this episode, and I think what I've discovered in this rewatch, and kind of podcasting daily about it is, I tend to really appreciate the episodes where we are throwing all of these characters in a room and just watching them bounce around. Like, it's like as if you took a bunch of ping pong balls, threw them in a box, and just watched them all like bounce off the corners.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see how they all interact together, especially who takes charge when Logan is unable to perform. I totally agree with you too. Like, not only is Logan forgetting to take his pills, it seems like occasionally he has moments of clarity where he just mutters pills and no one knows what that means, because the only person who seems to know that he has a UTI is Carrie and his doctor.
Yeah.
And so no one has been put in charge of making sure he takes his pills. Colin just assumes he wants some Advil or Tylenol, you know, he doesn't know what Logan is asking for. And he also, not to mention the fact that he's wearing a boot now, he has a walking boot on as a result of seemingly last episode's issues that he's had. So he is walking with a cane, right? Like, he's not exactly in the peak physical health here, Logan Roy. So it's really interesting to see, right? What does it say? When the cat's away, the mice will play.
Uh-huh.
Seeing what the mice are up to in this episode. And I think it's really telling some of the things that end up going down. So this is one of, for me, as much as last episode I know people really do love, I love this episode of season three. It is like probably my favorite so far of the five that we've watched.
Yeah, and I do feel like the comedy in this episode really for me gets just as close to being silly as I want Succession to be. It does not cross the line I've talked about. This was a hot take. I don't know if you were on this episode and you listened to the pod, but I don't love the like putting the towel over the head and eating the bird.
Yeah, Amanda, why a take?
Amanda told me that this apparently it's a real thing that actually has that like does happen maybe, and so like I might have to retract that. But for me, it's a step too far in the silliness. The Frank being on stage and like Carl being on stage and the like the
for
fake
so
outs
long.
Of like, yeah, I'm gonna pass it over. He's like, actually, I can't do it. So you go back on Frank, like self-acknowledging at the end of the episode. Like, I know you've all probably, everybody in the world has heard too much of me today, but I would like to make a speech. I think just the like sort of chaos that's happening, you also get, you know, and I think at this point it's worth noting that there's been a thing that I have seen a lot on TV recently, which is show the way some shows will be marketed. I feel like we try to like, you know, a dangerous game. I'm saying this as we're about to head into Succession season four and Yellow Jackets, that we're like trying to predict some of this stuff that happens. But I always feel like don't actually trust the marketing on a show, because there's a world in which like, I think we had this with House of the Dragon, like what they sort of pitched is like what's going to happen. I don't think ultimately bears out is what that show is about. The Last of Us, it was like, this is a show about infected mushroom people. Like, that's not really not actually.
No, it's
about
love and it's about family.
Yes. And then this one, just to bring about to Succession,
the show is about love and family, right,
that's
Grace?
That's right. You know, it's more about mushroom infected people than I thought. I think that's what's wrong with Logan. This the show, the season three imagery. I talked about this in season one, episode one, sorry. It's like Logan versus Kendall, and whose sides are people going to be on? Kendall's side is literally nobody. It's like Comfrey to the point that he's like, I got to burn you, Greg. So I think that this has been really fun to track, and Kendall trying to get this deal done, and ultimately Logan comes out ahead, but it's such like the perfect thing, and you can feel it in Shiv being like, come on, let's celebrate. He's like, not the deal I would have done. Like, nothing is impressive to Logan Roy unless he's the one that came up with the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stop buzzing in my, speaking of Yellow Jacket, stop buzzing in my effing ear.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Business owners, meet Progressive Insurance. They make it easy to get discounts on commercial auto insurance and find coverages to grow with your business. Quote in as little as 7 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I don't think it's right how your dad sidelines you in all this. And maybe it's appropriate for me to have somebody like-minded on the board. So how about a fourth seat on the board for you? You can tell him that you screwed it out of us and my dad was losing his shit and I narrowly killed him.
Four seats, that's a lot of seats. He will like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it is one more than three by my count, so Waystar, for balance, will need an extra one for me.
I see. He won't love that.
Okay, well, look, just tell him that the markets will never let me or my brothers be CEO.
Oh, come on, do you believe that?
I just care if your dad believes it.
Uh-huh. Look, I should go. See if I can sell it. But this is good with Logan.
I can sell it. Can you sell it?
Yeah.
So let's break this down a little bit, character by character, beat by beat. Shall we start with the main man himself, the unwell Logan Roy? The outcome is pretty great, but he doesn't seem too happy with it, and he has a pretty bad episode. Specifically, obviously, he's suffering from a UTI. He's forgetting to take his meds. He seems very reliant on Carrie, who doesn't seem to be around. We're seeing a lot more of Carrie lately. And I think very specifically, the first thing that stood out to me is when Stewie calls and wants to make a deal, because Kendall has called Stewie. Kendall talked to Frank. It's like,
I love
a whole
this happens
game.
So much in this show where like it's often like Frank is involved in these things. Where he's like,
yes.
I don't know if we should call the Canadians. Kendall calls the Canadians. The whole deal gets end up like blowing up. Like this happens a lot. We're like, just don't call. Nobody should call anybody.
Stop calling everyone. Well, because Kendall says to Stewie, they're ready to settle a deal. Like you, or that you need to settle a deal because my dad is not going to be willing to give up the four seats. You need to call them back with a better deal. They're not willing to settle. And so as a result, Stewie calls Logan, who then says, wait a minute, I think they have bad news. Why would they want to settle? No, we need to string them along. And it's like, no, Logan, that's not what's going on. And Logan is so stubborn that he is willing to go to a vote because he thinks, well, no worries about this DOJ situation. We've pushed enough on the raisin. He's going to get the DOJ off of our backs. And his whole plan is to make an empowered speech to the shareholders to get anyone who is waffling back on his side. So, like, to me, that's also a bad call. You're waiting until last minute for something to go through. On top of that, he's obviously super out of it. He talks about a dead cat under his chair. He doesn't want Rose to see it.
Is it Carl who moves the fake?
It's Colin. It's Colin. Yeah.
So funny. That's probably the lowest I've ever, like, probably the most demeaning I've ever seen Colin. This is a man who's covering up murder, but it's like the lowest.
He has
my
a
lowest
paper bag with nothing in it.
It's the lowest I've ever thought of Colin, I think. Yeah.
And I love Kendall asking, what is that? And Roman goes, it's an imaginary dead cat. Get out of here. So I ended up giving Logan a 0. I feel like this is a terrible, terrible episode for him. I couldn't even really feel like I should give him a 1 because anything that ends up happening in terms of securing a deal and avoiding a shareholder vote, he has nothing to do with. And so I didn't feel like he deserved any of the credit. What about you, Grace?
I mean, I do give him 1 point, only that a deal gets made. And I know it's not the deal he wants, but a deal does get made and it saves the company. They don't have to go to a vote. And I know that that's probably not him. But that's why I give him a singular vote. At the end of the day, his company does get saved from not having to go to a vote and potentially losing all control over the company. I mean, he loses all the other points for a multitude of other things. One, he's not even happy with the deal. And he's so rude to Shiv. I really hate it. He's trying to talk to Jerry. And then the other piece is this is maybe, so there's the scene, I think we've talked about, what are the lowest points for Logan Roy?
Yeah.
Being in a coma. Okay.
For sure.
Can't really, you know.
Pretty bad.
I don't. I don't currently have a rule for if you're in a coma, you get this many points. But,
yeah,
you know, pretty bad. The episode where he's yelling at Nam and the deal falls through. I feel like that's really bad. The one, like, good thing about that is, like, it actually makes people, I think, more scared of Logan Roy. And also very few people see it.
Right.
God, I'm forgetting it. Holly Hunter. This is Rhea.
Oh, Rhea.
Rhea's watching, and there's some, like, you know, valets and stuff, whatever. This is such public, like, has this guy lost it? Is this everybody watching an old man, as we like to say on the Dark Pod, perhaps have demence, the German word for dementia. it's not great. It's not a good look. Yeah. So I have to dock him basically every other point. He does get a deal where it looks like he's going to be able to, like, keep control of the company, but it's not the deal he would have made. So you dock him some points there. And he has a very public, you know, health issue in front of everybody who works for him. And
also,
I feel like they're just not scared of him anymore. You know, they are, but they aren't, you know?
Yeah, but also it's like you said, it's not only just in front of his family. His absence, I'm sure, will not go unnoticed in the, like, within the shareholder meeting proper, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. He is supposed to be giving a big speech. He is absent. In his absence, Kendall stands up to the podium. And so I think that, like, that's also not a great sign for Logan. Okay. I do have a question for you, because when he is, quote-unquote, piss mad, he does say he's concerned there's a dead cat under his chair. He doesn't want Rose to see it. Do we think this is, like, a direct pull from his childhood, that there was some kind of dead cat under a chair he didn't want his younger sister to see?
Oh, a dead cat in his history. Very interesting. Maybe this is a thing we got to keep tabs on for season 4. It's like a thing that's coming. Is the story behind the dead cat. We know his sister died and he feels
responsible for it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Just something to keep a note of that I hadn't necessarily put 2 and 2 together, that, like, this story possibly could be stemming from something that actually happened.
That's interesting. The other piece I just want to flag is in season... one, he decides he's not going to go to Shiv's wedding. And when they're deliberating about the reason why he's not going to go, there's this whole thing where they say, well, you could say you're sick. And he says, when you're sick, you look weak. So again, this is one of the things that, like, Logan does not want to be. So is to look weak or sick. So yeah, not great. I give him 1 point because the deal happens, but I mean, arguably it's not because of him.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Where do you feel like going next, Grace? Who do you want to talk about next?
Well, who makes the deals? Shivy, as you like
shivy,
to say.
Shivy.
So this is really interesting. I in terms of how to rank her. She comes out, I think she's a very good episode. And yet it's very interesting because Logan is supremely mad at her. But she makes this business deal where she goes to Sandy, Sandy with an I. I do love, I watch with closed captionings, and when Jerry says, hello, Sandy, it's Sandy with a Y. And you, Sandy. It's Sandy with an I. Very funny.
And I love it. Who is it? Is it Connor that asks who's the one talking? And she's the one that can speak?
The one that can speak. Yeah. We'll get to it. They're negotiating with Shiv, who makes the deal. Is Sandy with a Y saying literally anything? He gets called a meat puppet, but is he saying anything? We had this discussion, I think, on the original.
We did. We definitely had this discussion way back when we covered this live, when it was happening. I think, here's the thing. I also watch with closed captioning. It's a bunch of
Sandy mumbling, I believe.
Yeah, it's very Charlie Brown teacher moment, right? Wah, 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 wah.
Actually more Sylvester Stallone.
Adrian. Yeah, that's but yeah, right, there's something to be said about one of the reasons why I really love the Sandy and Shiv scene, Sandy with an I and Shiv scene, is we're just seeing two powerful women doing dealings for their fathers but looking out for themselves, right? So in my mind, Sandy with an I is saying whatever Sandy with an I wants. It has nothing to do with what Sandy with a Y wants, because he's just mumbling. What she's saying, he's saying, is just like, doesn't make any sense compared to what we hear of.
I mean, the point, very interestingly, I feel like we get into a little bit of when we get to Kendall, it's like, you want to make sure you don't lose a bunch of money. You want to make a bunch of money, Stewie. And Sandy wants to screw over Logan Roy, wants to get a knife in there. And so the first thing that gets offered is a thing that I think probably does. Whether Sandy with a Y ever told his daughter this or saying it in the moment of the one thing we want is veto power over any potential Roy child becoming a CEO, I think is fair enough, a thing that Sandy with a Y absolutely would potentially be pushing. Could also be that Sandy also hates the Roys and is okay with that provision being in there. But it does seem like it's the thing that holds up the negotiations at first. But, just to talk back to Shiv, for a minute, so she does make this really good deal. The one piece where I want to dock her down is she does get the board seat. So they the board will expand and Waystar Royko will get to pick who that is. And Shiv positions herself that it will be her. And yet at the end of the episode, that's not exactly what the deal is, right? The deal is the deal is that Waystar Royko gets the seat. It's not necessarily that it'll be Shiv. And Shiv's trying to say but Dad, we talked about this is a play. I'll be on the board. And the fact that she makes this deal that is so clearly there's a piece of it that seems so self-interested makes me think that that's bad to not basically be able to get and the board seat will be Shiv's. So I knock her down one singular point because I think, and this other thing at the end of the episode, when she is trying to hang out with her dad, there's a thing where this is completely I'm going to completely victim blame and bear with me that we're watching a show. Yeah. Just prepare yourselves. The best way to behave in front of Logan is to do exactly what he wants you to do. Right. And so you maybe should stop bothering your father. Obvious immediately that he does not love the deal. And I feel like you but let's drink champagne because of it is definitely absolutely not going to work. So I give Shiv a lot of credit for pulling off the deal. And then I just dock her one singular point. Maybe this is why it goes to Logan, is that Logan doesn't love the deal. And that's not great for Shiv at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in lockstep with you. I was very impressed with Shiv this episode. She is the first one butting up against what Logan is saying, whether or not he's piss mad when he's saying it, right? We don't know where along the line he starts to lose it. He doesn't seem to want to make deals at the very beginning. He's not willing to give up the PJs, not willing to give up one of his children eventually being CEO. But she is constantly pushing and pushing are you sure? Did he really say no? Can we trust that he's saying no? We'll talk about Roman in a minute and how much he has his father's back. But I also give Shiv 3 points because you said, she gets what she wants. She's very self-interested. I love that she takes the initiative and she makes this deal with Sandy because, in my opinion, Sandy with an I, I'm going to make a prediction and say Sandy with an I is going to be important in season four. I just have a feeling. She is now on the board. She is the mouthpiece for Sandy with a Y. I think she's going to be very important. I also like, I love to see strong women on this show. We only have a few of them. And so getting another one involved makes me very happy, even if it is someone who is against the Roys, even better. And I think what she does is really smart in that she had to give up a fourth seat. But it's someone that she's like, maybe we can work together, you know, maybe we could do something together. And she's trying to secure herself one as well. Where she loses a point for me is the same with you, where Logan is not very pleased with Shiv. And I don't think having Logan angry at you is a really good thing on the show, as we've seen. And so it's not great. And I do agree with you, like, she so badly wants, and they all do, all the Roy kids, they all want daddy's approval, right? They all want... She just wants to celebrate this moment because this is like 3 seasons in the making. We didn't talk about how long we've been waiting for the show.
Sure, the proxy battle. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, this is 3 seasons in the making and we all want to celebrate, right? And yet he does not want to celebrate with her. So she does lose a point there. But really, really solid episode for Shiv in a season where she's not really had a good time so far. So
again, good for her. And just another way in which, like, this is a big thing that the proxy battle is over, and it happens midway through season three. Yes. We've talked about that season one, episode six is the takeover attempt. There's a big moment in season two that I am.
Is
so
that
bad.
Argestes? Is that
might
season
be
Argestes?
I think that for me the big one in season two was episode five. That's like exactly halfway point, but
Argestes is six. Turnhaven is five. So Turnhaven, both of them are very big episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the middle of the season, we get this like thing that happens, which I think is like very just like compelling television to put like a big moment basically halfway through. And I think again here, this is a big moment, and I think Logan's health certainly changes the game.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up!
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now!
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Logan, you okay? Need help? Are you okay, big man? Are you okay? Did you get it caught?
No. Give me a hand.
Okay. Yeah. Not to. Do you like? You don't need me to hold the scepter? No. Okay. Take your time. Take your time. No rush. Hey, are you okay? You're really shivering. I think we need to get you seen by somebody. I think.
Thanks, son.
Anytime. Pop. Papa.
Should we chat about Tom? Shiv's
other
half here.
Yeah, let's go with Tom.
Who has the sweetest moment we've ever seen in Succession.
Again, this show is so good at making a moment that should be kind of sad or maybe even kind of sweet and taking it and giving this little like... Maybe like a little chili, like the red chili flakes, but the red chili flakes are funny, you know, like comedy.
Yes.
You need me to
That's
hold,
a classic
you need me
metaphor.
To hold the scepter?
The red chili flake
Is it?
Metaphor.
The
yeah.
Red chili flake
In
metaphor.
Comedy, it's a classic comedy thing. You're like, that joke, it's fine. You add a little red chili flake on it. yeah. And then he calls him son. And Tom replies, yeah, papa.
He goes, thanks, Pop. And then he decides that Pop isn't even enough. He has to go, Papa.
Papa. it's so cute, and I know it's while like Logan is probably will never remember this moment and completely out of his mind, but it's so cute. This is the thing that Tom from the very beginning, episode one, is him trying to buy a gift that will impress his father-in-law, and Logan gives away the watch, and you know, I think that you know, earlier in the season, he offers himself up to go to prison. He'll be a farmer. He'll step up so he can go down, I think is the line read.
I'll go up and, so you could go down. Or no, so, I'll go down so you could go up.
Something like that. So it's, you know, as he's having this, you know, in a moment of sort of like needing someone, it's actually Tom who he's like, you know, even in this fugue state, to the point where, like, you know, he's yelling at Greg. It's like, none of your business. To the bathroom. Greg being like, I think it's down here. And Tommy like, it's okay. I think we could get to the bathroom. It's Tom. Tom's so supportive in this episode. I think Tom has a lot of things to say when there's all, I really love sort of as Logan is out of commission, we get like as things are happening, right? And people are trying to chat, like, and Tom is the one relaying the final deal, and he's like, we're good, right? That's good, right? This is good. We're gonna do this. You know, he's fighting sort of on behalf of Shiv. I think it's a very good episode for Tom. I'm tempted to give him a 4, Jess. I don't know if that's too high.
Okay, I did give him 3. Most of his points are gained because of what you said, because when Logan needs to go to the bathroom, he picks Tom. He picks Tom to take him. Who knows if he's already piss mad or if this has anything to do with Tom offering himself up as you know, the person to take the fall and go to jail, right? It could be a mix of both of those things. But regardless of how it happens, there is a little bit of sentimentality there. There's a closeness there, an intimacy. I did dock him a point because Tom tracking his wife's menstrual cycle.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And
sure,
putting
sure,
it on his
sure.
iCalendar and wanting to impregnate her so that she is not lonely when he goes to jail, and to kind of like, it sure. almost feels like, Grace, and correct me if you disagree, but from what we've seen of Tom, where he's not into the open marriage of it all, he feels like someone who can feel Shiv drifting, and he like grapples her as a result, right? He smothers her with his love as a result. And to me, this very much feels like I'm going to put my seed in you so that you don't have any other choice while I'm away. Who's going to want to be sleeping around with someone who's pregnant? That's how it, and not that anybody shouldn't not want to sleep with someone who's pregnant, but I am saying like, he's putting a little Tom in the bank. Do you know what I mean? Is what it feels like. We've heard him in season 1, Austerlitz, when he is talking to Marsha and Willa about, Shiv and I have talked about freezing, but we're going to freeze embryos, not eggs, to have a little bit of me stored up. Like, it just feels very, like, controlling in a way of, like, you were going to have my child so that way you don't forget about me while I'm away. And I thought it was super creepy to track someone's menstrual cycle without their permission. And so I gave him a 3 rather than a 4.
Yes, I agree. That's a fair point. Okay, I originally had a 3 and then I was just talking. I bumped myself up to a 4, but I think I'll bump myself back down to a 3. But the thing, I don't know. I don't know if I read it as malicious as I read it more naive from Tom, and maybe that's like not fair to Shiv, but I do think Tom is somebody who I think is, you know, I think it's like very funny when he is sort of like, he's not exactly like Groomzilla, but there is like, you know, when he yells at, is it Rachel who's in charge at the wedding, doesn't matter, you know, that he has to carry the bags, like I feel like there's a sense of that. I have some friends who are like very much like, and like male friends who do sort of like love this idea of like, I will get married to a woman, I will have a baby, like this is what my life will be like. And I feel like, you know, we get the sense from Shiv that Shiv would much rather have an open marriage. We never really have seen Shiv ever be interested in having children per se. Mm-hmm. We never haven't had a conversation. And so I feel like it's something that like Tom wants way more than Shiv. And I feel like the sad thing about it is that I read it more as like it more reaffirms his place in the family. And again, I think like we've seen over and over again that like, I think Tom loves Shiv more than Shiv loves Tom. And so I think it's like an extension of that. Like I read it more as like, maybe if we have a baby together, you will like love me, which is maybe the same read you're having.
That's
of, like,
no,
that's
it,
with somebody.
That's totally fair.
It's still not great. It's still not good. Yeah. You still
either way you dice it,
your,
it's not great, but
you
I do
just have
agree,
a conversation. You know?
Yeah, one way, yeah. The way I'm thinking is certainly more like malicious, but both are in a way of being somewhat controlling. 100%. Which I do think makes sense for Tom. But overall, I do think he has like a solid episode. But it's just like that one part is just like, oh, it's so, oh no, we were so close, Tom, to having a really, really great episode for you. And then you had to go and put your wife's menstrual cycle in your iCal. Not great.
Yeah. So give Tom a 3.
Yeah, yeah. Same. Let's stay with this group and shift on over to Roman, who I think is really kind of the other side of the same coin as Shiv, where he is much more in lockstep with Logan. Anytime Logan says no to something, Roman says, listen, he's a beast. He knows. He's 6 moves ahead. We have to trust him. We have to trust that he knows what he's doing. Where I think by that point, Shiv realizes something is up with Dad's health. He's not acting normally. But Roman is very much like, no, we're not agreeing to the PJs. Like, screw them. They'll back down. And he very much is against when Shiv wants to go and make a deal. Roman says like, no, like you're going against, Dad said, no, you're going against what he wanted to do. He also is forced by Jerry. Instead of Jerry, he's the one who has to talk to the president. Grace, it does not go well, for bootleg Logan, as Jerry refers to Roman. He starts the conversation by, it's not cool to tell the president to blow me. Oh, hey.
Hey, bud. Hey. Oh, a little crosstalk there. That happens.
It's really, really bad. He has a pretty bad episode, but I will say at the end of the episode, when we do see like Shiv get told to stop buzzing in Logan's ear, Roman is the one who goes over to his father and says, oh, Shiv being an effing bee. Like, yeah, Dad, don't worry about it. So he does, like, it does seem like he still has this closeness with Logan. And Grace, talking about his, a little bit of his, like, sentimentality towards his father, he really can't, like, this feels like shades of season 1 when Logan has the medical crisis. He can't even, like, look at his dad when his dad is, like, snoozing in the chair after getting some IV.
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting. You know, again, I feel like my vote, my number here could be shifted a little bit, because I think he basically has the reverse Shiv episode where he is pushing. I don't think if he pushes for what he wants, the deal gets done. But if he somehow gets that deal done, it's exactly what Logan would have done. Like, yes. To the point of bootleg Logan, like, no, don't give up the PJs. Like, no, don't do all the stuff. Whereas Shiv, I think it's very interesting. Do you think, you know, even when, the idea of like not a Roy gets mentioned and Jerry's being like, well, we'll just, I don't even think it's, Carl's being like, I don't even think it's legal. You know, it won't hold up.
Yeah.
And Rome is like, well, who cares if it's legal? Like if you pass it, essentially that's it for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's true or not, how much could you get away with like reneging on some of this stuff? I guess it depends on how much is like actually in the official agreement. But yeah, I think that Roman had, to be fair to Roman's conversation with the president, I don't think even a conversation with Logan gets
probably
a different
not.
Outcome than what the president tells Roman. I think if you're calling to say, I'm not running, no conversation with even Logan Roy changes minds, but
especially because Michelle Ann calls earlier and they refuse her call because Logan isn't there.
That's
So maybe that's the opportunity to change his mind. But by the time the president is calling, I do agree with you. It's probably a done deal anyway. Roman certainly doesn't help matters.
No.
And what's worse for Logan is, like you said, Jerry, whether or not Jerry is acting out of self-interest or fear of Logan, she's like, listen, you know, maybe this isn't even a thing that's legal to do, is does not allow one of the Roy kids to be CEO, but I have to call your dad and check with him. And I don't necessarily view that as an act of betrayal against Roman, but it's certainly not her helping him. And it feels to me like when she is making Roman speak to the president, it feels a little bit like she's like gently tapping him under the bus. So I ended up giving Roman a 2. It felt like as high as I could possibly go, because I don't think he deserves the 3 that I gave Shiv.
I actually bumped him down a singular point after you were talking, because I didn't equate the Jerry stuff, which to your point, she's not like, well, maybe a Roy could be in charge and like look over at Roman, you know, like I think that, like, that's pretty bad that she's ultimately like, yeah, maybe a Roy could never be in charge. So I actually bumped her down a point from, or him a point from where I had him, which is at a 2. I bumped him to a 1.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it either way. I do think there's a moment when Jerry is the one vamping on stage. She does mention Roman and he kind of looks at the TV. It doesn't feel like this is a deal breaker in terms of what I've been referring to as their alliance. Certainly a little bit of a bump in the road. And Roman even says, like, hey, I get it. You know, like, you're going to screw me over to solidify your position. That's fine. But I don't think he has a great episode. And the only thing for me keeping him at it too is just how close he seems with Logan and in lockstep he seems with Logan, for better or worse. It always seems to be you're in a good position when Logan agrees with you. So I ultimately ended up giving him a 2. We were already talking about Jerry a little bit, so let's continue on with chatting about her. She has an interesting episode, Grace, in an episode where so much seems to be going on. It doesn't seem like the ball is ever really in Jerry's court. She's not the one when Tom is shouting about Shiv's deal with Sandy. It isn't even Jerry that gives the final go ahead. It's Roman. So she really, even though she is acting CEO, she doesn't seem to have a ton of power this episode.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, yeah, in terms of there's a line earlier in an episode, right, where it's like we don't want her to be too much acting. And so Everybody, it feels like everybody sort of knows that, like, Jerry is not fully in control. So even when Logan is kind of like down and out, it still can't just be Jerry making decisions. Mm-hmm. So I would agree. She kind of is the one who does make a call in the first meeting. She does come back and ultimately, you know, she does check in with Logan and the veto is a no-go. You think that for real happened, right? You think that for real happened? She definitely calls Logan. Okay.
I think
just check in.
Cause so I just think I think she, based on what we've seen, where she's kind of, I think she, in the beginning, she was very much like testing the boundaries of what she could get away with as acting CEO. And I feel like she's gotten her wrist slapped one too many times by Logan to want her put herself out there on something that is this important. She's made other decisions that aren't anywhere near as important as this proxy battle. I don't know. I really struggle with where to put Jerry. She doesn't seem to have a ton of agency this episode. She's talking to Logan.
Yeah, she is talking to Logan at the end of the episode. That's like, true. We gotta strategize. What's our next move immediately? On to future business. I don't know. I tempted to just put her square in the middle. She's, you know, there's another thing I say sometimes of, you know, you don't want to make a move and end up being on the wrong side. She doesn't really make a move this episode, but she does end up on the right side. She is on the side that has finished the proxy battle. She has that's completed. And that's good for Jerry Kelman. That's a big win as the CEO. I mean, that's why I give her a 4, right? You know, that's why I got to give her. I'm just trying to justify how I can give her a 4, Jess, and I'm really struggling. I might actually have to give her like a 2 this episode or a 3.
Yeah,
that feels bad.
I would say she's on the winning side, which is great. She's a part of the winning side, which is good. We see, I think, you know what? If you want to give her points, reward points for being a killer, as Logan would say, she was willing to throw Roman to the wolves, to the sharks, to the whatever animal rips him apart. In terms of, you know what? Too bad you can't be CEO.
Yeah, but nobody looking out for Jerry. Everybody's spying on Jerry and doesn't think Jerry can do it. And Roman's the only one who actually
wants Jerry
to do it.
I'm trying to help you.
I know.
I'm giving Jerry a 2 because I don't think she has a good episode, but I also don't think she has a bad episode. So
all right, here's
me,
what I'll do.
2.
I would give Jerry a 2, but I'll give the Jerry Stan bump. I'll give her a 3.
There you go. Jerry Stan bump for the win for Jerry.
Just because she's very funny. She's great. Yeah.
She is really good.
Oh, there's a great Jerry line when they're talking about, actually, this whole exchange is great. When they're talking about Sandy being unwell, she says, syphilis. I think we started that rumor, which it was.
Yes.
It absolutely was Jerry who started that rumor. And then Carl says, I think it can cause memory loss. And Roman goes, doing a bit of late night Googling there, Carl. panic Googling. It's very funny.
Because it's Roman talks about, like, what if we walk in there and his top half just falls off of his bottom half?
I mean, it's very silly. And then you walk in and you see Sandy Furness and he is like slumped over. I'm like, his top half could fall off.
And I remember at the time us speculating on the podcast, like, is the actor ill? Is that why they're doing this? He's not. And so it was purely for story purposes, which who knows all it'll bear out in the very end. Mm-hmm. Let's stick with this side. Let's talk about Connor, who has a little bit to do this episode where he is. I do love the he gets really nasty with Shiv straight out the gate when he's like, I have to talk to Dad today. I have to have a little chat. And Shiv's like, eh, maybe not today, Khan. And he's just like, you know what? I'll take a black light to our semen-stained history, family history.
It made me so sad. Khan and Shiv, I really forgot that they were so chummy at the beginning, and their relationship has really come apart at the seams. I don't like it. I kind of want them to have each other's back.
I mean, yeah, I would like it too, because it does seem Roman and Kendall do have a closeness, I think, that we see. And I would like to see Connor and Shiv have each other's back. It's just not going well. No one respects her authority, Grace. It's really sad.
And Con, he does his best. He would like to. So, I mean, very funny that he would like, you know, something small like European cable. So it's like, small. No, maybe. And then
small compared to the U.S.
That's true. And then at the end of the episode, when the Raisin and everybody is so upset that the president is not running, they've lost their biggest ally. Connor gives a big like, hell yeah. And he's going to run for. There's an opening. There's a reopening for a specific job that perhaps Connor has his eyes on. So like, very funny. But I think it's the fact that he is basically like his dad doesn't give him the European cable job. Then he tries to say that he did while his dad is sick. And the fact that at the end he's celebrating in a room where everybody is very upset. The fact that he cannot read the tea leaves to see that like this is not great, that the president is not running for reelection. I can't have to give Connor zero.
You gave Connor a zero. I was a little bit more generous to Connor this episode because he got European cable, regardless of how it happened.
He didn't get European cable.
I thought they said he got it.
When?
Well, he told everyone he got it.
That's not getting it. You've fallen for Khan's trap.
I did. I fell for the... Well, because he's like, Dad, I just want something small. And he's just like, yeah. And he's like, that's an agreement.
No, he doesn't get it. There's no way. We'll show next episode. It'll be like, Connor's not doing European cable.
All right, well, then Connor gets a zero if he doesn't get European cable because he can't... He doesn't know what's going on.
If you'd like to pretend by the end of the episode that Connor's running European cable... You can. I just don't think that he's actually got European cable.
Well, then he's just the worst. So he gets a zero. Mm-hmm. Let's bounce over to our other grouping, and then we'll talk about Greg, who kind of bounces back and forth here. Kendall, the story of the rabbit continues, Grace. Mega Thump is the rabbit's name, which is hilarious. He tells the nanny to allow his daughter to feed the big rabbit a bagel. He's like, oh, those rules. She's like, the doctor, it says not to feed rat. I looked on the internet and it says not to feed rabbits bagels. He's like, that's for people who give them a big gulp and a dozen cinnamon raisin. A piece of bagel is fine. Turns out not so great, as the rabbit's gonna need some veterinary assistance. But yeah, it does seem like Kendall is in a pretty lonely spot. Like you said, his posse consists of like Jess, Comfrey, Barry, and Greg for 2 seconds before Greg gets told, I'm going to burn you.
Yeah. I mean, when your entourage includes someone named Comfrey, I don't know if I, you know, how much stock I can put inside. I will tell you, Jess, I woke up, I watched this episode before work this morning. I was having coffee and breakfast and I was eating a bagel.
Oh no.
Good thing I'm not a rabbit. So I was totally fine. It's just sad. I think the going on stage, and sort of like pushing Carl out of the way, starting to name the women and saying that you're opening a foundation as the mic gets cut off is incredibly cringeworthy. It's almost cringeworthy enough, Jess, that I should have skipped the episode. But Josh chose to skip the episode.
Yeah.
Kendall's incredibly unfortunate episode. He also is trying to maneuver a deal with Sandy and Stewie, and he fails. He's no way Kendall's coming out of this is in charge. So I think this is pretty bad, and ultimately I think sort of, you know, remember sort of feeling at the end of this episode that like this feels like there's nowhere to go for Kendall. There's like really all of his paths now have been closed off. What is he if the deal is done, the proxy battle's over, what does he have? Still a lawsuit pending against Logan, I presume, but I don't know. This is feels really bad. I think I gotta give him a zero.
Yeah, so with Kendall, he does want the deal to go through so badly that he like storms into like Logan's corner and is like, you fix it. And everyone starts screaming at him. You're not welcome. You need to leave. The moment is super cringy when he starts like naming victims. They cut off the mic and he's still yelling about starting a foundation for sexual abuse victims.
I mean, which is good.
I'm
not saying that you said it's good. I'm just trying to like be like, that's great. But also, there's a time and a place, you know?
Yeah, and also it's Kendall who, like, it just feels so backwards. But yeah, he doesn't have a great episode, right? A rabbit is in danger of being ill, and this deal does go through, but he really doesn't have a ton to do with it. In fact, his interruption and kind of inserting himself is nearly what ruins the deal in first place. And on top of that, he gets freaking ghosted by his dad at the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
He's told by Carrie, oh, your dad wants to meet you in this room. We've set up a spot. He goes and sits there. Logan leaves and has Carrie block his number when
How
he calls.
Petty. It's so good. It's so good. It's what a so petty move. Petty. We love a petty king, Logan Roy.
Yeah, I ended up giving Kendall a 0. I was tempted to give him a 1 because, like, well, at least they made a deal. But he, you know, I don't think his next move, Grace, his only move is I'm going to give Greg up to the DOJ. I'm going to burn him and they'll probably go after someone bigger like Tom or Bill. And then maybe we can get someone to flip. But these are all just so it just feels like so far away and like such a reach to happen for Kendall. It seems like he's in such a bad spot. I ended up giving him a 0.
Sorry, I forgot that he does want the deal to go through it, that he does is hoping that he could still somehow, you know, Stewie and Sandy might back him to become CEO instead of anybody in these board seats potentially help that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a bad move that, like, Shiv gets a board seat. So, like, you know, it's not a great... I'll give him 1 point. I think that, like, the deal going through is a thing he does want. And I know he almost ruins it, but it does happen. But everything else is just so, so bad. And it's so sad to see him burning Greg like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Greg, he has a pretty, pretty bad episode. Kendall is threatening to burn him because he is now working with Waystar and Logan. When he goes to meet his grandfather, you're the best darn gramper out.
Gramper. Love it.
So funny.
Oh, that should I start doing? Because I, you know, we'll get into the thing. I was counting. There's a con pa and a con pop. Should I be doing
Grampers?
Greg Grampers.
I think there's only going to be one.
All right. Well, we counted them all. We did it.
It turns out Greg had fired the lawyer that his grandfather hired for him because he's now siding with Logan, which, of course, Ewan totally does not respect and has decided he is going to donate all his money to Greenpeace. And now Greg's plan is he's going to sue Greenpeace for his grandfather's for his inheritance from his grandfather. All signs point to bad for Greg.
Yeah, this is bad. I think I got to give him 0 points. I don't think there's a single redeeming thing that happens to him in this episode. He's just like,
no.
Yeah.
He's the delivery boy for notes to people on stage. Like, that's not a great sign.
It's yelled at by Logan in an episode where Logan is losing his mind. I think it's bad. It's a bad episode for Greg. Yeah.
Yeah. I also gave Greg a 0. And I hate to do it, but like, Greg, this is a terrible episode for you, my guy. It's not good.
Yeah.
Let's go into some of the ratings that we do. If you'd like to send in your ratings, posherecaps.com/rateroy or posherecaps.com/actionstations. If you would like to submit some of your own ratings, let's talk about the number of, F-offs and Ken dads, not a single in an episode where Logan goes piss mad, not a single F-off.
Pretty wild, but he's got to be in his full faculties to tell people to F off, I guess. I think he would have if he was on the phone with the president at the end of the episode.
Oh, he definitely would have. Kendall does say dad 4 times to add to the total, so pretty low number, but you know, whatever, it's there.
He does. Oh, do you know why I had okay so I re- he says he referred did you count the one where he's her dad was actually talking about Sandy Furness, so maybe that's where I know we had a slight difference in
I'll do the remap, make sure.
I think it's because there's a early on he says I'm sure she'll listen to her dad or something, he says something like that, so it's again I removed it because it was not a Logan dad, it was a Sandy dad.
A sand dad. Blank's dead. I mean, I put the cat that's under the chair.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Dead. The proxy battle, dead. But I think cat under the chair is funnier. So I think
cat it's under great. The chair it's is a dead cat.
It's a dead cat.
Daddy's favorite.
Rome? I think Roman, probably.
Yeah, Shiv makes the deal, but he doesn't seem very happy with her.
And she spills champagne on him, so.
Yeah, he's not happy about that. We saw what happened last time champagne was spilled on him. Someone ended up dead in the water.
True. That's true. Spoilers, Shiv is going to end up. Shiv dies next episode. I'm so
yikes.
Sorry. Yeah.
In the battle of Greg versus Tom. I mean, this is, feels like an easy Tom victory this episode.
Oh, big time, big time.
He offers to hold the scepter. Greg has no money. Done.
Yeah, agreed.
Pretty easy win.
Mm-hmm.
As for the episode ratings, Grace, what did you give this episode?
So I really like this. I'm looking at my list. This is the highest rating I've given it, which I gave it a 3.85, which might seem redundant, but you know, I'm like really minutiaing here. But I do think for me, it's better than I think. It's right there with like season 3 episode 2. That's the Roy children all gathering. I think again, one thing I like is the balance of things, and I feel like everybody sort of has something this episode. Roman probably getting a little bit of the least, but you know, when you're least, you know, when I'm saying the least, and you talk to the president on the phone, I feel like that's pretty good. I really like it. I like the maneuvering. Again, I like these like mid-season sort of action episodes that actually like resolve things or create huge conflicts. So I give it a 3.85.
Yeah, I'm very bullish on this episode. I gave it a perfect 4. This is exactly what I love about Succession. It is intense. I mean, it is like, it is back and forth. There's so much anxiety around the people having to vamp on stage while all of these decisions are being made. Logan has lost his faculties. Like, it is a great episode of Succession. And I think something I really love, this is not a bottle episode because people don't really know. A bottle episode means it's all in one location. It's self-contained. But episodes where the majority of the cast are in the room together tend to be some of my favorites in television, especially when you have such an amazing ensemble cast for mm-hmm. this show. So I gave it a perfect 4. We will hear Josh's thoughts next time he's on and what score he gave it. But yeah.
That's Retired Janitors of Idaho, which does get name dropped by Roman early on. Again, if you want to join us in rating the Roys and all that fun stuff, posterrecaps.com/rateroy or posterrecaps.com/actionstations. And make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, posterrecaps.com/succession. And just a reminder that all Succession pods are ad-free all season long, the daily Succession podcast, as well as when we are podcasting about season 4. And so you subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. We'll be back tomorrow with episode 6 of season 3, What It Takes. Until then, I'm on Twitter at @HiFromGrace. Jess, where can people find you?
I am at @VJessSterling.
And until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, F off!
P to the OD. Cast on the daily about Succession. One episode per day.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.